Welcome to the Church in the Peak podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more information, visit churchinthepeak.org or come join us at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday.
Okay, Ian's going to come and speak to us this morning. And so let's just be open to the word of God. Let's just receive him. As he comes up, I'll pray for him. Okay, let's just pray for him before he speaks to us, shall we? So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are present here already to bring that word alive to us. And so we pray that you will. As Ian speaks today, we pray that you'll come by your Holy Spirit. You'll speak through Ian into our hearts. Pray your anointing upon him right now. We pray that, God, you'll take the words and what he's prepared and you'll use it for your good and what you've planned and purposed for us today. So just bless Ian, enable him, I pray, to speak your word boldly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to talk about choices. God started speaking to me about choices right at the beginning of the year. I've prepared a message for another church on choices, and I've changed it round a little bit. But, you know, we make choices all day long, don't we? This morning, you've made the choice whether you've got out of bed or whether you've stopped in bed, or whether what you wanted for breakfast, you've chosen, you've decided what clothes you put on. Life's full of choices, both large and small. And to get over this thing about choices, then we've been listening to Charlotte Gamble. From 2 or 3 months, she spoke 5 times a day, and now she's only 1 time a week. And it's all about choices, so it's getting me at all sides. And they've been challenging. It's challenging to know that we've all got to make decisions every day. Some are important, some are small. To be honest, when I thought about choices, I've made some terrible choices in my life at times. I must be honest. I'm not going to tell you what they were because I don't know what had happened. But I've made some good choices. I've made a great choice when I asked Jesus to come into my life, even though I fought against it for a long, long while. That was a good choice. I'll embarrass my wife and I'll say, I got a great choice there. You know, everything went well. And there's a scripture here that says, rejoice in the Lord. There's loads of scriptures I've got, but I'm not having them all on the screen. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And I trust we've been rejoicing this morning as we've been worshipping with God. Regardless of your circumstances, you can determine to rejoice and be glad. So really, I want to talk about choices, and the choice I want to talk about this morning is joy. Now, joy is found in the Bible 218 times, or it might be more. Don't worry, we're not going through all the 218 verses. We might get to 216, but who knows? I want to quote a quote of John Hagee, the American preacher, and he says this, very few people know the difference between joy and happiness. Many people will tell you they just want to be happy. How many times have you heard it? People say, I just want to be happy. And he says that the word happiness comes from a Scandinavian word, which is hap. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Short a word. But from which we get a word called happenstance. Well, I'd never heard that word before, I must be honest. I had to Google it to find out if it was right. But that word happenstance means being controlled by circumstances or what happens to you. Now, you could be happy today because you've got up, you've opened the curtains and the sun's shining. You could be happy that somebody said something nice to you today. Or you could be happy that somebody's given you some money. Might not happen, but you would be happy, wouldn't you, if somebody had given you money. You're controlled, really, by what happens to you. Your happiness depends on what happens. But joy, we want to talk about God's joy this morning. It's there regardless of what happens to you. God's joy is there. That's the difference. It's not based on circumstances, but on believing God, on what he says, and that his promises is that he'll do what he says. We could look out of the window and it was raining and all sorts of things, and thought, I'm not very joyful today, or I'm not very happy today. I want to read you scripture, Luke chapter 6, 22 and 23. I think it'll come on the screen. And you'll perhaps at the beginning think, whatever's he picked that verse for? And it says this: blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. That's talking about Jesus. That's the first part. It does get better. And we've all had that when folks have called us names and done all sorts of things. But I like the second bit, and it says, rejoice in that day, leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that's how their fathers treated the prophets. That's, of course, how they treated Jesus. I didn't hear many people leaping for joy. I'll let you deal with that after. I thought about leaping for joy, but I thought health and safety, and you know, it perhaps won't go down very well. I've got 3 points, basically, from that scripture. And the first one is that we need to stir up joy when things get tough. Things are tough at the moment, aren't they? But God tells us to stir up joy. Now, this is the choice to go against negative emotions by learning to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And some of you will know what scripture I'm going to talk about. That's in 1 Samuel. That's about David. David's on the run from King Saul. He gets an army formed round him. They go out, and when they come back to the camp, it's absolutely burnt down. Everything's gone. Their children, their wives, their animals, all their possessions, everything's burnt down. David's soldiers want to kill him. Well, they would be upset. But the one thing about David, he knew his God. And he went to God, and he prayed to God and encouraged himself. And he said to God, well, what shall I do? Shall I go after them? And God said, yeah, go after them. I'll go with you. He went after the opposition. And you know, the great thing is that God even provided him with a guide, because they were going out and they met a slave who the Midianites, who'd robbed the camp, the Amalekites, they got rid of this slave because he was ill and they didn't want to carry him. So they gave him food, they gave him drink, and he showed them the camp. When they got to the camp, all the Midianites, they're having a jolly. I don't know if you understand that word. They were enjoying themselves. They plundered 3 or 4 different camps. They'd got all these possessions. They got all this food. They're having a great time. But they didn't notice that David's army was coming amongst them. And they slew quite a lot of them. And a few ran away. But the great thing is, he encouraged himself in the Lord. But God gave victory because he got far more back than he'd lost. They came back with their families, they came back with their possessions and everything. He recovered a whole lot more. That's the thing of God. Many stories start with hard times. The amazing thing is when God steps in, he turns situations around like that one. We're to rejoice in that day. We're exhorted, to deal with anger and bitterness on a daily basis. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Because what I want really to talk about with joy is that God wants us to be joyful people. He wants us to be full of joy. But we know the enemy doesn't. He wants us depressed. He wants us down in every way. But God wants his children to have joy. And I want us to remember this as we go through things. So we're exhorted to deal with anger and bitterness on a daily basis. It says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And don't be angry when you're going to bed, you've fallen out with somebody or something's happened. I'll tell you this, that if you don't and you go feeling like that, you're never going to sleep, are you? You're going to be tossing and turning all night. You can take a Nitol or a tablet. It won't work. We've got to get right with God. We've got to go to bed rejoicing in what God's doing for us. We need to rejoice in the face of opposition, feelings, circumstances. We all love them. We all love these things. But it's here we've been given the secret of life. It's the key to breaking off the spirit of heaviness. It's a demonstration against emotional attacks against us. We're told then to rejoice in the day. Encourage others, because great is your reward in heaven. That's where we're all bound to one day. You know, great is our reward in heaven. So rejoice in that day. Encourage others. It's great that our reward is there. I was listening to Steve Furtick the other day in one of his messages. I quite like Steve Furtick. I'm not always mad when he starts shouting and stamping round. But he's brilliant on one-liners. And he's talking about one subject and he suddenly swings round and he said, be careful who you hang around with. Be careful who you do life with. Don't hang around with people who are miserable all the time, who are moaners, who are complainers, who are always putting you down and not treating you right. He said, don't hang around them, because they can bring you down. And they do. So this is what I want. Don't want anybody robbing you of your joy. I'm really wanting, I've been thinking about this, and the scripture comes a bit later on. I want us to be a joyful church. You know, I think I've mentioned it before. Somebody went into a shopping mall in America, and they were queuing up and all. It was havoc. The machines broke down and everything. And when one of the persons got there, you know how they apologise and say, I'm sorry for the hold up. And the woman says, no, it doesn't matter. You've got problems. And the woman who was on the till said to him, you belong to that church up the road, don't you? And the woman said, how do you know? She says, well, it's the nearest church, but I can always tell the people who are joyful and happy and don't complain. You'll go to that church. No, wouldn't it be great if folks in Matlock and the whole area around this said, you go to that church, you don't come, you smile, you're happy, you're joyful. God wants us to be joyful. There's another scripture that I was looking at, and I don't know why this came across. God gave me a cartload of these scriptures. I've been trying to, you know, go through them. In Nehemiah, it tells the story that Ezra and the prophets, some of the people have come back to Jerusalem, they read the book of the law to the people. This happens when they've just rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. So the Jewish people have been in captivity, and they've started coming back, and they're sat there listening to the scriptures. And it's an emotional time for them. They were listening. And it says that they began to weep. They began to cry. Now, I'm not quite sure why they were weeping. Was it when they'd come back? Was it about all the things that they'd done? But they were weeping. And when you look at it, to start off, it seems a bit of a hard time when they're sat there listening to that. Then Nehemiah turns the circle, and Nehemiah says to the people, he says, go away, go home, enjoy choice food, sweet drinks, and send to those whom nothing prepared. But I like the ending. It says, this day is sacred to the Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So he saw their need and said, go home, have a party, rejoice. I noticed the word that Phil read out from Babel, they mentioned it again, the word joy. And I think joy is very important to every one of us as Christians. This life attitude is about turning our problems into opportunities. And I believe God does this. This will cause us to find strength and then to move us from strength to strength in ways that will amaze others and amaze ourselves. I don't know, have you ever been amazed by God when, you know, something's been so difficult and yet God just turned it completely around? He does it all the time. It's great to be amazed by God. So let's practice joy. Let's start by asking God for a revelation of the truth that the greatest thing we need is a new way of looking at life. We need to ask the Lord to cause us to see His goodness and His promises like never before. You know, I've been a sucker all this lockdown, watching different people preaching sermons. And the other week, Max Licato was talking about the thing that the church needs most in this era, at this time, is getting hold of God's promises and believing them like never before. He said there's a promise in the Word of God for every problem. Well, I'm not quite sure whether that's true, but I'll believe it. We've got to get hold of the promises. Let's celebrate Jesus. What I'm really saying is, let's celebrate Jesus even though we're going through difficult times, even though we're going through times of problems. Somebody quoted that the Bible often says, it came to pass. Now, talking about problems, they do come along, but it never says that they came to stay. And our problems aren't to stay, we move on. And I believe at this time, we're moving on. And that those things will actually change. Another scripture, one that will come on the screen is... I've lost where it is. It's from Psalms, and it says this: His anger lasts for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Again, this is God turning it round. There's that time that's dull, there's a time of His anger, but then joy comes in the morning. I like it that God always turns things round. You see, night really represents dark and difficult times of life, where it's hard to see clearly, but the morning talks about God's favor. Morning symbolizes new beginnings, new hope, new vision, new breakthrough. Now, I believe that, as Phil was saying, I believe this is coming. God's doing something at this time. He's birthing something new in the church. We don't know when it will all come into fruition, but it's at work doing it. See, morning will arrive sooner if we learn to arise and shine, stir up joy in the night. And again, that makes me think of another scripture, Paul and Silas in jail. You know, they've been beaten, they've been treated horribly, they've been thrown into jail in Philippi. And actually, we went to see that jail. Well, went to Philippi, but if you go to Greece, don't call it Philippi. They call it Philippi, after the emperor. But it was a great big, massive black hole into the ground, and whether it was the actual jail, they said it was. So there is Paul and Silas in jail, and they're praising God. They're praying. And of course, they've got a captive audience, haven't they? That's a good pun, isn't it? A captive audience. Because they were all in chains, they were behind bars. And they had to listen to Paul and Silas. But they praised God. And what happened? Suddenly there was an earthquake. The prison shook. Their chains were loose. The prison doors were open. Morning came at midnight. You see, God turned again. A difficult situation, God turned it all the way around. And you know, there's a great secret, I believe, in praising God. And it really is a secret. It really, when things are hard and things seem to all come down on us, get praising God. Get filled with joy. Because on that scripture, morning came at midnight. There's great joy as they proclaimed His promises. A very wise man called Henry Nouwen, he wrote this: joy doesn't simply happen to us. We have to choose joy. We have to choose it. It just doesn't happen. And keep choosing it day after day. So one of the things I want to exhort you to do, day after day, choose joy. And you'll get great results. And I know, as I've said, times are hard. There's difficult things going on. But choose joy and God will turn situations round. There's another scripture, and I think this one will come up on the screen. It's Romans 15:13. And it's another of my favourite verses. And it says this in NIV: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you might abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul's praying for the Roman church, that they'd be filled with joy. And that's my prayer for every one of you this morning, that you'd be filled with joy and abound in hope. Remember, hope is confident, optimistic, expectation that God is coming. Now, we believe that God is coming. It's the soil that faith and joy must have its roots. Paul prays that the Roman people will be filled with joy. And it's all right. What's joy? Is it an emotion? Is it a substance? I believe it's both. You see, a substance can be imparted. It's something that can defeat, we can defeat the enemy with. Paul prayed that we be filled with it. We can be empty of joy. We can be all full of joy. But if you read the New American Version or Standard Version, it starts with the word now. And it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and hope and peace and believing. So our joy, our emotions result mostly from what we believe. That verse implies believing our God is a God of hope is a key to experience joy and peace. You see, our hope is based on the finished work of Calvary and what God has done for us, for his love, his goodness, his promises. Now, as we replace the lies of the devil with truth, we will see an increase of joy level, and we will indeed be filled with all joy. Do we want to be filled with joy? Yeah, we do, don't we? That's the one thing we want. But we get it from God. As I've said in the New American Standard Version, it starts with the word now. It doesn't say tomorrow or next week or next year. It says now. It doesn't give us the idea that we'll be filled when all our circumstances change. No, it says believe now and you'll be filled. Let's receive that filling of joy and peace right now. There's a declaration that I want to put on the board. That declaration says this. I love declarations, by the way. I've noticed a lot of American churches start with declarations, and finish with them. And this one, I want us to, you can read it out at this moment, and I'll say it with me, and it says this. Father, we choose right now to walk with an abounding hope that will ignite our joy like never before. What a prayer. Let's say it again. Father, we choose right now to walk with that abounding hope that will ignite our joy like never before. Oh, well, I'm getting excited. It's a great subject, isn't it? Joy. A great subject. I'm nearly finished. But I want to finish in saying, perhaps you've never had a personal encounter with Jesus. You've never known the joy of sins forgiven. You've never known that wonderful thing of having a personal friend as he is. But you know, there's a choice. Today, right now, that's possible. The Bible says if we confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can choose to invite Jesus into your life today. There's one quote that struck me, and it's this. Joy comes in when sin moves out. Joy comes in when sin moves out. What a wonderful thing. Pray with me if it's your desire this morning to know Jesus as your personal Saviour. We're going to have a prayer that's on the screen. And you can pray it along with me if that's your decision today. And it's this. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my life. Wash away my sins. I make you my Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and meant it, you are a child of God. You want to start in on the Christian life. We always told people to read the Gospel of John. But you want to be in a good Bible-based church. I know one, it's called Church in the Peak, Matlock. And you need to be on an Alpha course. And of course you can do that online now. I know a church that does that. That's Church in the Peak, Matlock. I'm not biased, but it's the ideal place to come to because you'll be welcomed and have a glorious time. My prayer for you, though, today is that you're filled with joy. I'm going to pray for you and then I'll finish. Lord God, I pray for your people this morning. I pray that they will abound in hope and, Lord, they'll be filled with joy. And, Lord, wherever they go, they'll be, Lord, your people, and that people will know that they've been with you, that joy might abound, Lord, within every one of them. Give them joy, Lord, this week, I pray. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Great tour. I just want to say, if you know you've been robbed of joy, the Bible tells us that our enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we can, in times like this, we can get robbed of our joy, not just because of a virus, but life. Life robs us and seeks to rob us of our joy. And if you've been robbed of joy, God wants to give it you back. God wants to give you back, and he'll give you back far more than the enemy stole from you. That's the good news of Jesus. He always gives more than we've lost, because that's how he is. So we're just going to worship together. We can sing this song, and then we'll finish with a prayer.